from Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us. May your way may be known upon earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us. May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere him.
And our New Testament lesson from the Gospel of John, John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. On Pew Bible page 862. Hear God's word this morning. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethzatha, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now, that day was a Sabbath. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you asking to serve you, asking to serve you and asking that your word might light our path and guide our hearts. Help us, O Lord, to be the best servants we can be, to every chance we can and are able to make use of the gifts that you have given us. May your word guide us and lead us, and help us, O Lord, to be your servants. Amen. What do you do when reality makes you have to do something different that's not normal? What do you do when the rules don't cover what you're encountering, or there isn't a guideline for what has happened in life? Do you outlaw something like the tush push, or at least try to? Or do you find a way to stop it? Do you assign a committee to address how AI and faith intersect, or do you cover your ears and go la 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 and run down a hallway and hope that AI goes away? It's a more simple conversation about abiding by the rules or the law versus breaking them. But it's one that we need to engage in our faith. Where does reality and faith, reality and the law, intersect? In our story today, we find Jesus headed to Jerusalem for a festival. And while he is in a particular place, he encounters a man who is sick. Sounds like many, many of the encounters that Jesus has. Now, this particular man has been lame for 38 years. That is a fairly large time in a person's life, isn't it? 38 years. It's almost my entirety of life. A few of us, that is the entirety of our life. A few of us, it's just a part. And the challenge is how this whole moment has been set up. Now, when the pool that is supposed to provide healing is stirred up. The spring is stirred up. There's this mass of people trying to go into the waters to be healed. And of course, there's no ticketing system where, allow me to be a little old, you go to the butcher counter, you pull your tab, and you wait for your number to be called. Anybody remember that system? I'll make you feel really old and say I remember it when I was a kid. The fact is, there's no thing like that. Instead, it's more of a mad dash to be the first in line. Like some of us may remember trying to get concert tickets before they all sold out, or maybe trying to register our children for summer camp, where you got to be one of the first five people online to get in. It's a bit of a cutthroat healing process, this is. The first come, first serve, and it's about who you can get to help you get in the water if you're going to get healed first. I hate to say it, but it probably more resembled a hockey game than a blessed moment of healing. You got to think, if somebody is in a hurry to get healed, do you think an elbow might get thrown? Or somebody pushed aside? This is probably full contact healing. It's funny because you think about how simple something like this should be. Everybody queues up. Those who have been there the longest are going to the front of the line. It makes sense. But when was the last time you went on to a traffic jam or to go over the bridge and you're merging from two lanes to one? Does that ever go easy? Does it go like it should, where everybody takes a turn? You go, I go, you go, I go, right? No, it's first comes, first serve. I'm not getting out of my lane. I'm not going to let you through. It's cutthroat. And here is this man who for 38 years has likely come close a few times. He has come close. He's almost got to the water, but he can't. Think about where this man's hope for healing is. You can hear what is almost pain in his voice. Every time I get almost to the waters, Jesus, somebody's in there already. Somebody who had more help, somebody who had more assistance, somebody who could go. And for 38 years, Jesus, I'm here waiting for the chance to get healed. There's a hopelessness in him as he meets with Jesus. We don't know the nature of his disease, but let's be honest, do we need to? Do we need to know the exact affliction he has? No. We know that for 38 years, he's been afflicted. For 38 years, he has tried and failed. And you can imagine how hope, real hope, is hanging on by a fingernail. We often talk about our hopes being dashed in the world. And my family likes to talk about how my own hope in 1984 and 1989 was squashed when I locked myself in my room and determined that I wasn't coming out until the Cubs won the World Series. Okay, I was little. Kids make threats that aren't realistic. It's not like I held my breath until the Cubs won the World Series. The fact of the matter is, hope is there, but it's barely alive for this man. 38 years can't help but break down a person. Imagine what he's been through. And imagine what it must feel like, the process for healing. Imagine going to the doctor's office. And you're sitting in the waiting room, and it's first come, first serve. And it's the first to get to the nurse who gets in for the appointment. Imagine going for cancer treatments that way. Imagine going for a hip replacement that way. It's not okay by any stretch. But this man somehow has hope. He's still willing to get up. And Jesus, once again, hears someone's pain and takes action. He takes action. He is going to do something. He's going to do something to make this right. And in his actions, he makes some statements. It's pretty clear how easy it is for Christ to heal this man. He tells him, just take up your mat and walk. Not, let me put my hand on you. He's not mixing up the mud to give the man sight again. He simply tells him, pick up your mat and walk. He doesn't offer to have the disciples help the man down when the water starts churning again. He asserts his power to heal in this moment. He asserts that not the waters restore this man, not the water, but Christ, Christ Jesus. Imagine how easy Jesus could have simply looked at Peter and Andrew and said, guys, can you help him out? He's got 12 disciples. They could get him into the water easy. But instead, Jesus commits to showing his power and healing him. He shows mercy and kindness in a most beautiful way, healing this man, restoring him to life. And it is because the Messiah, the Son of God, has made him well. Not a puddle of water, but the incarnate God that is Christ. There's no mixing or mashing or anything like that. Christ is setting up a sign saying, I did this. But he also makes another statement. He makes another statement that is a little clearer than that. It's a footnote in this moment where all John relates is that Jesus did this on the Sabbath. Except that causes ripples. That causes shock and awe. Now, the Pharisees will come back at Jesus and say, well, couldn't you have waited until tomorrow to do this? Why did you have to do it today? Why couldn't you wait until it's not the Sabbath? Let the Sabbath pass and then heal. But in their rigidity regarding the Sabbath, they lose sight of the main process here, which is a man who is hurt and hurting needs to be restored. And I don't think that man would ever say that he could have waited another day. Now, I've shared once or twice about my weird West Michigan past and upbringing, and how there were certain towns in West Michigan where if you go into them on a Saturday, everybody is like a bunch of working bees. Everybody's doing their lawn, doing this and that, pressure washing, because on Sunday, you can't play outside. You can't do this because it might be work. Baseball fields, basketball courts have signs that say, there will be no ball playing on Sunday. Last time I checked, ball playing is not exactly work unless you're playing for the pros. Even my great-grandfather had this lovely shtick every Sunday during the summer. He would take his little radio, set it on the front porch, make sure all the windows and doors were shut on the front porch so it was just him, and he would listen to the Tigers. And he shut off all those windows and doors so that nobody else in the family could participate or had to participate in his sin, which was listening to the radio on a Sunday. It's this very rigid and Pharisaic world in which the letter of the law and the interpreted letter commands everything. That rigidity, though, often rejects what the Sabbath is and that it's a gift. It's a time of rest, a time where we can recharge and restore ourselves. And it is a gift from God given to us, a time to rest from our labors, restore ourselves and our faith. It's a chance for us to gather together and praise God for all God does. But what happens is there are gray areas around it. When things are rigid, when they are black and white, sure, it makes it easier to condemn and allow, but the reality of the world of life comes in. You see, what do you do if your lawn can't be mowed on Saturday? Do you wait till Monday? Do you hope your neighbors aren't paying attention and you mow your lawn on Sunday? What about if you're starving? What about the various peoples who have to work on Sunday? The police, fire department, do we give them a special dispensation on the Sabbath? Or do we allow them to take Sabbath differently? Do we allow doctors and nurses in the emergency rooms, do we condemn them for working on the Sabbath? Do we condemn or get angry with those at grocery stores or restaurants who are working on the Sabbath? Or do we just ignore it? The fact of the matter is, if somebody had a flat tire on their way here, we would help them, wouldn't we? We would help them, or at least do something to assist. We can't give the excuse from the Good Samaritan of, well, I've got some place to be, so. No, Christ sees this reality where the Sabbath is both a greater thing than what the Pharisees are interpreting. It is more. It is more holy for him to heal on the Sabbath than to leave this man sitting for another day. The truth is, one more day would not have made a difference to the Pharisees, but they're not the ones who are ill. They're not the ones who are broken. And what falls apart is as soon as they would have been ill, as soon as they would have been lame, all of a sudden everything would go out the window, and they're okay with healing on the Sabbath. Ask anybody with a debilitating illness or a cancer if one more day would make a difference to them. Over the week, the shift in weather really made this consideration alive for me. As I watched Sarah with her RA being in consistent and continual pain, this man in this passage was certainly on my mind when I watched Sarah walk from one end of the fields by Miller all the way to the restroom, agonizingly walking. To a person who is suffering, who is in pain, do you think they want to wait another day? In Luke chapter 13, verse 15, Jesus says to those who challenge him on a different Sabbath healing, "Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water? You're kind to your donkeys. Why aren't you kind to these people in need?" In chapter 14, 5 of Luke, he says, If one of you has a child or an ox fall into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out? Won't you help in those cases? Serving God, showing compassion, loving your neighbor and your God, there is no Sabbath from those things. There is no break from those things. The challenge for us, the challenge is to be bigger than a rigid interpretation of that law. When God tells us to keep the Sabbath holy, is it by making sure that not a thing is done on that day, or by making the choice to serve God in every way we can? Is it by helping and healing the broken or in need, or holding on to some Pharisaic interpretation of the law? The challenge for us as God's people is to allow the resurrection of Christ to permeate our very being, to lead us to a greater understanding of what Christ is calling us to do, to be, and how we can best embrace being the people of God in our world. So, brothers and sisters, I'm not arguing for us to go out and find people broken down by the side of the road. But if you see someone in need, go ahead and help. Go ahead and do what Christ wants you to do. Embrace the gray areas. Embrace the challenge that God has sent. Amen. And now let us respond to our gifts from God with a gift from God. The plates are in the back, guys.